Well, when we think about end times, because the Blessed Hope deals with end times, it's so fun to study. Nowadays, there's two ways that many believers look at end time events. First of all, one is they're not concerned. I mean, they say, we're not going to say, because when they think about end time events and they read the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel or Matthew 24, 25 or 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, all those places, they look at that and they say, it's just not literal. We don't know anything. They're just, they're just things that are listed in the Bible, and they weren't meant to be taken like a literal thing. Where it says in Revelation 20 that he will rule for 1,000 years, they would say it doesn't mean 1,000 years. We don't even know. In fact, there's some people who teach that all of the events in the book of Revelation happened in about the 1st or 2nd century, that they've already happened, and so there is no such thing as a kingdom and the Antichrist and all those kind of things. The second thing that happens with those that we call them not concerned is they say something like, you can't understand it. You can't understand it anyway. So why would we study something that you can't grasp, that you can't understand? And there's all different kind of views about end times. And so some people say, you just can't understand it. There's another group that's excited and the desire to know. And let me just say this, that if you want to know, then you can study Ezekiel and Zechariah and Daniel and Matthew 24 and 25 and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and the book of Revelation, and just that's just a few. And you can put together the end time events. And it's sort of exciting because there are many people in our church that they say things like, man, I wanna dig that. I'd like to put it together and understand it. So this morning, as we look at the final thing that we're calling God's gifts to us, we're calling it the Blessed Hope. And the Blessed Hope deals with the coming of Jesus Christ to get the church. Now, we're the church, we're the body of Christ, we're the ones who have trusted in Jesus. Whether you're a Jew or Gentile, when you trust in Jesus, you're placed in the body of Christ, which is called the church. And we meet in local assemblies, local churches, but we're the church, the body of Christ. And the Blessed Hope is often called this the rapture. And people talk about it. And I've had people say, well, I've heard of the rapture, but it doesn't make sense. Or people say the rapture and the second coming, we've heard of that, but they're all the same and they're not. And so to be able to put it together and understand it, that's what we want to do. So what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks is we're going to look at this last thing that he's given us, the Blessed Hope. We're going to talk about end time events. We're going to talk about what the Blessed Hope actually is. It's God's promise to us. It's God's gift to us, really. And then we're going to look, that'd be the next week, the rapture events, and then the ultimate goal for us as we wait for Jesus Christ to come get us. So let's talk first about the end time events. End time, when we say end times, we're talking about the events to come, the last days. We know this. Now, this is going to sound a little bit funny to you because people always want to say, oh, you think we're in the last days? According to Hebrews chapter 1, the last days or any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we've been in the last days since Jesus rose again, ascended into heaven. We know that the very next event that could happen would be what we call the rapture or the Blessed Hope. So I want you to understand, and we're going to give you a real quick synopsis of how this fits together. If you've never put it together, this will be fun because it'll be easy. If you have put it together, you're going to go, wow, this really makes sense. This is how it flows. So let's talk about, for a second, end time events. We realize that there are three comings of Christ. When you study the Bible, there are three comings of Christ. There are two comings that Jesus Christ comes to the earth, and there's one coming that he comes in the clouds. Now, let me show you this. He comes to the first time he came to the earth, he left the glories of heaven, became a human being, so he could die on the cross and pay for sin and rise again. That's when he came to the earth. There'll be a second time that he comes to the earth. We call that, often call that the second coming. He comes as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and sets up a kingdom. That's the first coming to the earth. That's the second coming to the earth. There is another coming which is in the air, and we call that the rapture, in which Jesus Christ comes in the clouds and the believers are taken off the face of the earth. And so there are two comings to the earth and one in the clouds. So let's talk about the first coming to the earth real briefly. He came the first time to die. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The reason Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, left the glories of heaven and became a human being, he came so he could die. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So he came to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. So when we talk about Jesus coming seen the first time. Now, we're seeing it in the book of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus coming and offering himself to the nation of Israel as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we've been noticing and we've been saying all along that the nation of Israel as a whole has rejected him. The people reject him. And so in reality, when he came the first time saying that he's the king, they reject him. And with the rejection, he dies. So the reason he came the first time was to die and rise again. And here's what he talked about in Matthew 20. We've already seen this. He says, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up." So this first time, he actually says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'll go to the Jews, they'll put me to the Gentiles, they'll mock me, they'll crucify me, and I'll die. But after 3 days, I will come back from the dead." In the Old Testament, talked all about this. In Isaiah 53, we saw the story of the suffering servant, the one who would be wounded and bruised and crushed for our sins. The sins of mankind were placed on him. So, when you say Jesus came, he came the first time, and he came the first time to die and rise again. That's the first coming of Jesus Christ. That happened almost 2,000 years ago. He came, died on the cross, but probably over 2,000 years ago now. He died and rose again, and that's the first coming. There is a second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, and he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes to reign as the King. In Revelation 19, we see the heavens open, and he comes. Look at this verse right here. "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war." We saw in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus came, and he came and offered himself for the last time, but he knows he's going to die. What was he riding? A donkey, okay? When he comes, that's the first time. First time he comes, he rides a donkey. The second time he comes, what's he riding? A white horse. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at this, Revelation 19:6. "And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The first time he came, he offered himself as king. They rejected him. His plan was to die and rise again. That was his first coming. His second coming, he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's not asking anybody. He's not offering himself as the king on the second coming. He's coming as the king. Psalm 2 says he will rule with a rod of iron. He's coming as the king. Matthew 25:31 says that he sits on his throne. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and they will sit on his glorious throne." That glorious throne, of course, is as he gets ready to set up the kingdom. It's rules for 1,000 years on this earth. And by the way, let me tell you something. A lot of people are confused about this. We all know that in the chart, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, that there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then there's what they call the great white throne judgment. Then there's a new heavens and a new earth, and then he rules forever. Some people say, okay, there's a millennial kingdom, and then there's some kind of other kingdom. The millennial kingdom is actually called the eternal kingdom. So the millennial kingdom, the first 1,000 years is on this earth, and then the rest of eternity is on a new heaven and a new earth, and it's all the same kingdom, okay? So when you say, gee, what will I do in the 1,000-year reign? Well, based on how you served him, you will serve him then. And when you say, oh, well, then what happens in the eternal state? You're going to be serving him based on how you served him in the kingdom. Because the kingdom is one kingdom. It's just called the eternal kingdom. So, first time, he came to die. This is to the earth. Second time, he's coming to reign. There is another coming. And it's the coming, whoops. I don't know what happened there. That thing jumped a lot. There's a coming in the clouds. Notice, not to the earth, but in the clouds. I've had people come up and say that the second coming of Jesus and the rapture are the same thing. And the second coming of Jesus, where does he come? He comes to the earth. In the rapture, where does Jesus come? Comes in the clouds. They're two different comings. They're two different times. We'll put the chart up in just a second. Notice, not to the earth, but in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians is going to come in the clouds, and it says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them." Where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll always be with the Lord. And so we're going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And that's what we call the rapture. And let me just remind you, here is the flow again. This is his first coming. He came to the earth. He offered himself as king. He was rejected. He died on the cross to pay for sin, rose again, ascended back to heaven. He's going to come a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19, coming on a white horse. He was riding a donkey. He's coming on a white horse. He's going to set up the kingdom and rule for 1,000 years, and then there'll be the eternal kingdom that goes like way over there. But anyway, so that's going to be forever and ever and ever. But in between the first coming and the second coming, he's coming in the clouds. And it says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together to meet the Lord where? Meet the Lord in the air. Now, listen, this is coming where? To the earth. This is meeting him in the air. They're two different things. So do not get confused. And a lot of people who don't study the end time events, they're confused. They don't understand. In fact, a lot of people, let me just show you something. A lot of people think, okay, Jesus died and rose again. We're in the church age. The next event, Jesus comes. But this, when he comes, it's the great white throne judgment, and that's it. So they have no rapture, no tribulation, no kingdom, none of that. And that's a lot of people. In fact, that's most people, to be honest with you. That's most people. And so we hold to the Bible what we call historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. So when it says 1,000 years, we think it means 1,000 years. When it says he meets them in the air, we think it meets them in the air. When there is a antichrist who will rule for a time, times and half a times, 3.5 years, we believe that's literal as well. So when we study the Bible, we take these events as literal events. Some people don't. If you take them as literal events, you will have a first coming, a rapture, a second coming, a kingdom, a great white throne judgment, eternity. This will be a 7-year tribulation with an antichrist. That's all literal. Now, if you don't take it literal, if you say it doesn't mean all this, you just believe Jesus came and he's coming again. And that's how they look at it. And that's why so many people are confused. And that's why when you start talking about end time events, some people will look at you and say, I've never heard any of this. I don't know what you're talking about, because they're not taught that. So that's the flow of end time events. And I hope you've got it. In fact, that right there is the same as this right here. And it has on the back what each one of these things are, so that you can have it and you can look over it. Now, with that in mind, we want to look at our second thing, and that is the blessed hope. This is the promise. This is God's gift to us. Jesus made a promise that he would come and get us. Now, I want to remind you something. He didn't just say, I'm going to come get you. We're going to realize that he comes and gets us before what? Before what happens? The tribulation, and that's very important. Watch this. This is where I told you to turn to John 14. Look at John 14, and he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He's about to leave them, and he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to do what? What does he say? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will do what? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. This is him coming to get us. And so John 14, 1 through 3 says, I'm going to come. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. Where does he receive us to himself? Where? Say it. In the air, in the clouds. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he's promising. And we call this the rapture. And the key is that he takes out the church before the tribulation. You say, how do you know that? Let me show you some verses. I'm just looking at time, and I want to make sure we get it. But let me show you some places where he talks about that we will be taken out before the tribulation. The tribulation is sometimes called the time of testing. And watch this. Revelation 3:10, because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The tribulation is a test time. The church is gone, and it is the final 7 years for the nation of Israel. If you remember, I'm just going to throw this out. You've seen this when we took the book of Daniel. We're going to see it when we get to Matthew chapters 24 and 25, a lot more detail. But God made a promise to the nation of Israel. He told Daniel that he would give the nation of Israel 490 years. When Jesus died on the cross, they used up 483. How many do they have left? Seven. The tribulation is the final 7 years for the Jewish people. And so he's talking to the church in Revelation 3:10. He's writing to the church, and he says, I'm going to take you out from the hour of testing. That's what he's going to do. We're going to be delivered from that, delivered from the tribulation. The hour of testing is what we call the tribulation. It's 7 years. If you remember the chart, I don't think I put the chart back up, did I? Nope, I didn't. Okay, we'll put it up some other time and just maybe in a minute. But the keep out, he's going to keep us out. And by the way it's written in the language, in the Greek, it's out of. It's not, I'm going to keep you away from it or I'm going to keep you through it. It is, I will keep you out of the time of testing, from the hour of testing. I think on your handout you have Revelation, Romans, am I right? I took that out, but Romans 13:11, he says, our salvation is nearer than it's ever been. He's not talking about eternal life salvation. He's talking about deliverance from the tribulation. Now watch this, okay? Now watch this. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we're not destined for wrath. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people look at that, and they think that means eternal life salvation. That is talking about salvation from the tribulation. God has not destined us for what? The wrath of the tribulation, but for obtaining salvation, we could say deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because who's coming to get us? Jesus Christ. So it's not, this is the physical deliverance. Look at this verse. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. We're waiting for, talking about God, waiting for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus, who does what? What does he do? He rescues us from the wrath to come. What's the wrath to come? Tribulation. Are we going to go through tribulation?
No.
Have you ever been taught you might go through tribulation?
Yes.
Not here, right? Not here. Say not here. Say not here. Okay, good. Okay. Because we've never taught that, right? But there are people who teach it. There are people who will say things like, you know, one of these days, you know, it's going to be really bad and the Antichrist is going to come to power and everybody's going to run for their lives and you better store up stuff and get ready. Look, we're not going to be there. He's delivering us from the wrath to come. And he rescues us from the wrath to come. This is called the what? This is the blessed hope. Notice this. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. In the rapture, we're waiting for him, right? And he's going to come get us, and we're going to meet him where?
In the clouds.
In the second coming, who's coming with him? We are. We're not going to wait for him. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're looking right now for what? His glorious appearing. The blessed hope. We're saying, what's the next event? Jesus is going to come get us. That's exactly why it's called the blessed hope. What is the promise to us? Jesus will come get us so that we can be with him before the tribulation. That is a gift God has given to us. He could have said, you know what I might do? I might let the church just go through it. But he didn't, because the tribulation isn't for the church. The tribulation is for who? It's unbelievable, and the Jewish people. It's the final 7 years of the Jewish people. Do you understand? Let me throw this out just real quickly, and we're going to get it later on. When the tribulation begins, when the rapture happens, there'll be a break in there somewhere, and the tribulation actually begins with a peace pact made by the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7 that God is going to raise up 144,000 Jewish believers, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. They're going to begin to spread throughout the world, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior. The nation of Israel, by the time you get to the end of the tribulation, the nation of Israel as a whole will believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior, and they will call upon the name of the Lord, and they will be saved, because Jesus will come back at the second coming. That's what's going to happen. We don't have the time to get into all that today, but for us, we're the church. We don't have a part in it at all. Let me tell you something. Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3 are letters written to the churches, and the churches are mentioned something like, I've forgotten, 18 times, 16 times, something like that. Revelation chapters 21 and 22, the church is mentioned 4 times. Revelation 9, chapter 4 through Revelation 19, the church is not mentioned 1 time. Do you know why? That's the tribulation. You know why we're not mentioned? We're not there. Exactly right. Get your book. Get out the book of Revelation. See how many times the church is mentioned in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and in chapters 19, 20, and 21. And then you can go back and look, or 21 and 22, look at this, and you'll see how it fits. Okay, so this is what's going to happen. Are we pumped about this one? Could it be any second? Is there any signs that have to be done or any events that have to happen before Jesus comes in the clouds to get us? Not one thing. It could happen at any second. That's why it's called the what? The blessed hope. So let me give you some applications. Let's understand the flow of end time events. Let's do it. All right, and let's know it. Know this, that this is Old Testament looking forward. Jesus comes and dies on the cross to pay for sin and rose again. That's his first coming. He offered himself as king, but he was rejected. And so he died for us, rose again, and sent into heaven. We're in the church age now. That's the first coming. We're now waiting for Jesus to come in the clouds. He's going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. That could happen at any second. The church age would be over the minute he comes. We don't know how long it'll be. We know the Jews were promised 490 years. He didn't tell us anything about us. And so when we're taken out, then there's going to be a peace pact made. It'll last for 7 years. Antichrist makes with Israel. 144,000 Jews. There'll be two witnesses. Halfway through the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist puts his idol up at the temple, claims to be God, and then persecutes and kills anyone who does not take the mark of the beast. At the end of that 7 year time period, of that final 3.5 years, Jesus Christ comes a second time to the earth. First time to the earth, second time to the earth, in the clouds. He comes as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. If you want to, read Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. You see he comes in power and majesty, and he destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet, throws them into the lake of fire, and takes Satan the devil and binds him for 1,000 years. That's what's going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he sets up a kingdom and rules for 1,000 years. After that, it'll be a thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then there'll be eternity. And it's not a different kingdom. It is the eternal kingdom that began here on this earth and will continue on a new heavens and new earth. And you find that in Revelation 21, 22. Those passages are there. Okay. So let's gain an understanding of the end time events. Second, this. Let's understand the blessed hope. A, Jesus will prepare us a place. Is that right? Where is he right now? Where is he right now? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And what's he doing? Preparing us a place. In his Father's house, there are many what? Many rooms. Some people say mansions, but it really is the word for nest. It means rooms. There are many rooms. He said, if it wasn't that way, I told you, I got to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I will come back and get you. And where I am, what? You will be also. He's going to prepare us a place. He's going to come in the clouds to get us. And how fast are we going to be changed? In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know? Okay? And then Jesus will take us out, the church, before the tribulation. And there's supposed to be a D. I don't think it's on your sheet there. There is a D. And that is, we will be delivered from the wrath to come. How many of you excited about that? I am. I love it. I love the fact that God said, look, you're the body of Christ, and I'm going to take you out of here before the Jews have their final 7 years. Last but not least, let's praise God for his promise of deliverance, because that we can thank him that his plan was that we, the body of Christ, will be taken out before the tribulation. We'll get to be with him in the kingdom. We'll get to be with him in the eternal state. Now, just remember this, and I know we're running out of time. Just remember this. People all say, where do you want to go when you die? I want to go to where? I want to go to heaven. You look through all the Old Testament, they didn't talk about going to heaven. They talked about being in the what? The kingdom. It's the eternal kingdom. And the truth is, we're going to be in heaven for a very short time. If you die right now to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, but he's coming back. And then we'll be in this earth for 1,000 years in the eternal state on a new earth forever. So when we say, if I die, I want to go to heaven, we know what we mean. But the truth is, I want to be in the kingdom. The kingdom. And we've seen Jesus talking all throughout the Gospel of Matthew. What's he been saying? Whoever believes, you know, how do you get into the kingdom of God? You got to come like a little child to get into the kingdom. You notice Jesus didn't say, how do you have heaven? He said, how do you enter the kingdom? So good stuff.